You know, Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake, didn't he? And I know a lot of people wonder, now how could that happen? You know, but over the years it has happened before. And history repeats, as we know. You know, the devil's ambition, according to Isaiah chapter 14, is to be promoted over the stars of God, right? You know, he's called there the day star, son of the morning, or Lucifer, actually the original word was, and son of the morning. He says, how art thou cut down to the ground that didst lay low the nations, and thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. So it's been the devil's ambition to rule over God's people, because he doesn't particularly like them. He just wants to rule over them. He wants to show God a thing or two, right? Kind of like in the book of Job. You know, he wanted to show God, right, that Job would fail. And actually in Isaiah 14, the devil is called there the king of Babylon. People think it's a man, but as you read it very carefully, you see that, no, it's a spirit that rules over Babylon. Whether you think it's world Babylon, you know, or a lesser parable of Babylon, which is the United States. You know, Babylon was the great eagle in Ezekiel 37, and so is the United States, repeating history. The devil wants to rule over the United States because he wants to rule over the world, and the United States is the head of the New World Order. So he is doing everything he can to bring the United States down. And if you remember in Revelation chapter 17, the beast comes up out of the abyss or the pit and enters into perdition. And a lot of people wonder who that beast is. Some think it's a man, but obviously it's not, because it's coming up out of the of hell itself, the pit in hell, which is, of course, would make it a spirit. Or it could be, and I'm quite convinced that it is, a corporate body of spirits who is to enter into perdition, or the sons of perdition, as the Bible calls them, right? You know, all the corporate bodies there in the book of Revelation, the man-child, the woman, the beast with the seven heads and ten horns. And then there's this beast that comes up out of the pit to enter into the body of the beast. You know, there's a spirit of the beast and a body of the beast, and the body of the beast, seven heads and ten horns, is speaking about all of lost mankind. And, well, there has to be a spirit for all of lost mankind, and it's the beast. And that's that corporate body of spirits that come from the pit. We know the dragon with the seven heads and ten horns speaks of all lost mankind, and yet the Bible says it's the devil. Do you know that the devil is the head of his spiritual body that's in the pit, just like Jesus is the head of his heavenly body? And that Jesus comes down out of heaven to be manifested in our hearts through the Word? And the devil comes up out of hell to be manifested in hearts through his word. And so they're equal but opposite in a way. Christ and anti-Christ, you see. One's from beneath, one's from above. And, you know, there's only two men in the earth, Jesus said. Christ and anti-Christ are those two men. The body of Christ and the body of anti-Christ. The spirit of Christ comes from heaven. The spirit of the beast comes from beneath. Christ and his angels work very hard to manifest sonship in his children. And the devil and his work very hard to manifest him in his. And he's been very successful because the dragon with the seven heads and ten horns is called the devil in Revelation chapter 12. So he's very successful. You know, the devil has a body, a spirit body, from beneath. And the Lord has a spirit body from above. And we thank God that he's revealing these things. But, you know, we look at it from a Christian standpoint, what we've learned from the scriptures. But there are some very good confirmations out there in the world coming into the kingdom. Now, we've got a brother with us today, Philippe Besnard. And he is from British Columbia, Cortez Island, British Columbia. And he has spent many, many years in the New Age, New World Order religion. And he has some amazing things to say about it. He's recently been, I would say, totally converted to the Jesus Christ of the Bible. He was raised in a church that wasn't very impressive to him, so he went looking for God. And I don't blame him. I was raised in the same church. I went looking for God, too. He wasn't there. And, well, Philippe has some very interesting things to say. He is a Frenchman from Paris that was transplanted to Canada. And he's lived in the United States, too. And he's been looking for God all those years, since a very young man. And the Lord, I believe, has just answered his prayers. But he's got some interesting things to tell you about his trip through the New Age religion. It is a religion. It's going to be the religion of the beast. And believe it or not, the apostate religions of Christianity are going to join in that religion of the beast. And, of course, all this is going to help to form the Lord's one world order with his one world religion. See, the Lord has kind of taken out the center ground. You know, he is moving people further and further to extremes. Thank God we're going to an extreme, but it's extreme Jesus Christ, right? So, but there is an Antichrist. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And Philippe, I've talked to him quite a bit. I've read his testimony, and he's a blessing. So I want him to come and share with you and take his time and just, you know, we got 3 hours, Philippe. Come and share your revelation with the people and what the Lord's done for you.
Yes. Hi, everyone. This is a pleasure to be joining David on UBM broadcast. And thank you, David, for giving me this opportunity to share my experiences.
My pleasure.
Yes. I would like to start by inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in my heart so that I may speak from my heart with clarity and truthfulness. And I have a few stories that I would like to share with you, and I have been over the past few days thinking about how I would be sharing my experience with all of you, with UBM, in a way that you may be able to better understand what this New Age religion is about. It feels like to me, having been in a New Age for over 20 years, like a great labyrinth. If there's any word, David, that, because of my French accent that you don't understand, please, you know, don't hesitate to, call me on it.
Okay, I'll try to help you out, but you got to try to help me out.
Yeah, yes. Well, you know,
I'm not too good with this either.
You do have a southern accent, which I like very much, but it is a bit challenging at times to pick up what you're saying. Anyway, the New Age feels like a labyrinth, and it's an interesting thing that the labyrinth is actually a New Age symbol, and it's one of the many paradoxes of the New Age. A labyrinth is a place where we get lost, and the kind of labyrinth I'm talking about is is the kind of labyrinth that has been found in a few churches in France and other parts of Europe. And they are labyrinths embedded in the stone on the floor in those churches. And the most famous one is the Chartres Cathedral, which is in France, northern France, north of Paris. And so that's the kind of labyrinth that I am referring to that has become the New Age, one of the many, many New Age symbols.
Do you folks understand that he's saying a labyrinth? It's like a maze, we call it. Some people call it a maze.
Yes.
You know, you like you said, it's a place to get lost in. Because
yes.
I've seen the little games that use labyrinths. You follow them around to try to find a way out, you know, and sometimes
yes.
you find a dead end, which Philippe found a lot of dead ends.
Yeah, lots of dark corridors, lots of very... you know, like confusing path. You know, one of the main dogma of the New Age is to say that there is many paths that leads to God.
Mm.
And so, you know, being part of the New Age over the years, I have tried and studied many, many paths. And I have discovered that none of these dead hand actually lead to God. But quite the opposite. So to come back to this labyrinth, it is surprising that we still find those labyrinths in mostly they are Gothic Catholic church in Europe. A lot of them are in France, and for a little while the church started to engrave those labyrinths. They are like actual. Design, it's a huge design, like I would say the Chartres Cathedral labyrinth is about 20 feet wide. And they started engraving those labyrinths on the floor of churches until they realized that this was a pagan origin. And then they started destroying them all, but a few survived. And so this is why we can still find those labyrinths in some churches in France and scattered all over Europe. Now, the interesting thing is that people are the practice of walking the labyrinth is actually a New Age practice, which also comes from a very ancient pagan tradition, and which the Catholic Church has embraced, obviously because it was engraved on the floors of those churches. And what people do is like you actually enter the labyrinth and you walk. There is like a maze that you walk inside the labyrinth. Now, if you want to know the shape of that labyrinth, you can just Google, Chartres Cathedral Labyrinth, and you will find the design. You will easily find the information. Now, the interesting thing about this labyrinth is that you can only come out the way you come in, which means that basically you go in and there's no way, there's just no outcome, there's no way you can find the path out of it except by walking up through the same path that you came in. So it's interesting because this is very much how the New Age is. You'll never find your way pursuing any of the teachings of the New Age, any of the many different, occult, esoteric paths in the New Age, except by walking out of it by the same path you entered. Now, I'm just going to stay with that labyrinth thing for just a little while longer, because I think it's very typical and significant of the New Age, and the paradox here is making a symbol, making the labyrinth a place where you get lost, the symbol, one of the symbol of the New Age. And it always has like a, you know, in the New Age, the black is white and white is dark. The truth is being reversed. And that's a very good example of how can you actually find your way to God in a labyrinth, in a place where you get lost, okay? But nevertheless, it has become a symbol. And I am actually working here in a New Age Center because of my career, my work. I am a massage therapist, a professional body worker massage therapist. And so over the many years of being involved in the New Age, I had followed many, I have lived in many places, many centers or many mecca healing places of the New Ages. And even though I want to be living in a Christian community and have fellowship with Christ's disciple, now that I have come out of this nightmare, I am still, because of my trade, I'm still in there. So I'm still, you know, involved with New Age people because of my work.
Maybe you can bring some folks out of there with you.
Yes, this is giving me an opportunity to, you know, to speak the word and to, you know, try to, you know, help people open their eyes and see what the New Age really is about. And so I have been doing that. Just to come back, what I was going to say is that this labyrinth design is actually one of the logo of the center here where I am working, and it's people have T-shirts with these labyrinth things, and it's also engraved in stones and wood as well. So it is used as a symbol here. Now the interesting thing is that I just picked up a newspaper a few days ago, and there was an article about a great labyrinth who had been built on Vancouver Island, which is not far from here, British Columbia, Canada. And this labyrinth was built by a resort, and like they have people coming in, and it's like a holiday kind of New Agey resort. And I just wanted to share with you the little bit of the highlight of this article, because again, it is so typical and very meaningful as far as to understand what the New Age is about. So this labyrinth is huge. I mean, it's 80 feet across. And it is made out of driftwood, because here on the west coast of British Columbia, we have a lot of forest and a lot of driftwood that comes on the beach. So these people, they built this labyrinth out of driftwood. And it's actually like a path, you know. So you have you enter the labyrinth and it's a path, and you follow the path that is made out of driftwood, like it's like an edge on both sides of the path. And this is what the newspaper say: labyrinth, path of transformation. A labyrinth is a single path or unicursal tool for personal, psychological, and spiritual transformation. Now, I don't even know what unicursal tool means. I have even never heard about this word before, but maybe you can tell me, David, what that means. But unicursal, there's the word curse in it. So I found that interesting. Do you know what unicursal means, David?
Well, it sounds like what you're saying.
The
universal would be everywhere.
Yeah.
And obviously the curse is everywhere.
Yes. So anyway, the article continue by saying enhanced right brain activity. Basically, what it means is right brain activity is the part of the brain that is feeling, as opposed to the left brain, who is more thinking, rational, and making decision and organizing and things like that. So it's the right brain is the feeling part of the human being. And what they're doing here is that they're encouraging people, as a lot of practice of the New Age, they want people to be going into their right brain activity, meaning like not to think too much. You know, we don't want, they don't want people to think too much about what they're getting themselves into, what they're actually doing, and who they're actually worshiping. So this is typical language of the New Age. Another scientific kind of terms that describe that right brain activity is the alpha state, which is the state of meditation. Like when people enter a state of meditation or any altered state of consciousness, it is called an alpha state, which is basically there is a brain wave frequency and patterns that is being altered. Like it's a specific brainwave frequency, and this is this induce states, supernatural state or altered state of consciousness, and it only happens in that alpha state of the brain. So this has been researched scientifically, and of course science is behind the New Age. And there has been a lot of research done on those things. So to continue on the article, it says sacred space for contemplation, healing, insight, relaxation. One might dance, collapse, laugh, or cry. So I found that funny because this reminds me of the charismatic revival movement in Christianity. People, you know, completely losing it and collapsing and laughing and crying, and as we shall see, these are also symptoms and manifestation of what they called in the New Age the Kundalini energy.
And he's calling that's what some of you out there have understood to be Kundalini.
Yes.
Kundalini spirit in the false revival movement. Philippe is coming at this from a totally different direction, but he knows those spirits are not Christian.
Yes.
And go ahead, Philippe.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a lot more about this because I have come very close to experiences that almost lost me, actually, if it wasn't for the protection of the Lord. What the article says, continues saying, is while walking to the center, receive a message or an answer to a question. So that's another very typical New Age thing. Basically, what people are asked to do or encouraged to do is that you ask a spirit a question and you get the answer. And it really brings people into opening up to a demonic spirit and thinking that, of course, the New Age, most people are sincere. Most people are nice people. They are decent people, but they are misled and they're very confused about spirituality. And what happens is that they are praying to the wrong God, and they are worshiping the wrong God, and they don't know that, of course, because if they knew, they would. I mean, a lot of those people would probably change directions. So this part of the labyrinth. So you're supposed to enter the labyrinth with your questions. You go, you walk the labyrinth to the center. And then you do a little meditation or whatever it is that people do in there. And then you come out of it. And by the time you came out, you have an answer to your question. So there's another source here that I've picked up on the internet that I just wanted to briefly share with you about this labyrinth thing again. And it says, labyrinth is the beginning of a spiritual journey. Opening up relationship with the ancient masters, who will in turn offer the knowledge and wisdom of the ages to all who will take the first step, the initiation to enlightenment. Now, those ancient masters, I'm sure you've you figure it out already that these are demonic spirits. But there's such an amazing deception, and it's so well hidden in the New Age that if people really don't know that, they just think that those masters are serving humanity for the good of humanity, that they are serving the Lord and they are being an intermediary between the Lord and humanity, and that by, you know, serving and praying and asking questions and receiving answer from those masters, one becomes enlightened, one's become in touch with the Lord, with God. They call it spirit, or many other names. Now, there is many other names for those ancient masters, and some of those names are high initiates, the white brotherhood, the enlightened ones, the ascended masters, the white lodge. They are all different names for the same beings, which are the Lucifer fallen angels. Now, I'd like to give you a little background about myself before I go any further, so that perhaps you understand where I'm coming from and what was it that made me be so involved and lost in this New Age, in this New Age movement. As David said earlier, I was born and raised in Paris, in France. I'm a true Parisian, and I was baptized within the Catholic Church, and I never received any solid instruction and guidance in the Christian faith. I had never had anybody around me who was an inspiration in the Christian faith. So that one, I pretty much completely, it passed by me. I mean, I was not inspired with the Catholic priest of my childhood. Nobody ever told me that the Bible was the Word of God. Or if they did, I don't remember. They were not very convincing because I just don't remember. Honestly, I was very, from an early age, I was very driven to find God. I was wanting sincerely, naively, innocently, eagerly wanting to find God. And at the end, at the age of 17, I started reading books, Krishnamurti books. Now, is an Eastern teacher from the Hindu tradition, but he's very unique in a sense. Has departed completely from the Hinduist tradition, and his teaching is more about the personal relationship of man and divinity, and in his case is I think he was also misled and very lost in his understanding of God. The main teachings that the essence of his teaching is very much echo now with the modern teacher, New Age teacher called Eckhart Tolle. Now, I don't know if you, I'm sure many of you have heard about Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, which is a best New Age seller ever on the market. The essence of the teaching here is basically in the power of now, and in what Krishnamurti was teaching in those early days is empty the mind, stop thinking, and tune into the divine source within yourself, meaning the divinity is within yourself, and all you have to do is be quiet, stop thinking, and be quiet enough to discover and experience the divinity within yourself. Now, this right there is basically the whole philosophy and teaching in a nutshell of the New Age. Because one of the core dogma of the New Age is to believe that God is not personal, but God is a force, an abstract force out there in the universe. And the universe is all representation and parts of God, and because man lives in the universe, therefore man is also God and woman goddess. Now, there's a lot of emphasis on the goddess in the New Age, which is a revival of the ancient pagan Babylonian tradition. And so I have never been able to relate to this concept that God is a non-personal. I had just never been able to buy that. And all along my searching, I have always prayed to my Father. I have always prayed to God the Father. And so there's a very strange mix, I'm sure, for many Christians there, knowing that even though I was trying out many paths and I was looking for God and was looking for the truth, my inner belief and my inner approach was very much Christian. Even though I never studied the Bible, and because I had been brainwashed to think that the Bible was distorted, that it had been changed by man, that it had been written by man, and that it wasn't the Word of God. Actually, many says, openly says, that the Bible is the work of the devil. So, instead of studying the Bible, I studied the many, many, many Bible of the New Age, and there are so many. I mean, sacred text this, and sacred text that. I mean, it is truly amazing. There is so many so-called sacred book out there that has been written over the age, that it is such an incredible confusion. I mean, everyone contradicting the other, but mostly all of them, you know, talking about that same philosophy that which was given, you know, from the devil to Adam and Eve, which is basically mankind is God. And if you work hard enough, you will find that you are God also. So that is also, beside the fact that that is also a core dogma of the New Age, beside the fact that God is impersonal and God is a force out there. Now, my own brother, is a Buddhist, and he's a Zen monk, we had many arguments about the nature of God, and the Buddhists really believe that God is an abstraction, and I had never ever agree with that, because I have always felt deep in my heart that God is personal, and that he was close to me, and that I could have a direct relationship with him. Now, also during those years of being in the New Age, I also had Jesus in my heart. Now, this too might sound very strange, considering all the things I have been into and all the teachers I have listened to, all the books and I have read, but nevertheless, this is the truth. I had always had Jesus in my heart, even though, of course, many times I've been very, very lukewarm about him. Now, to come back to my little autobiography here. At 17, I had been reading Krishnamurti, I was trying to practice his teaching, meaning, well, you know, stop thinking and just experience the void within myself, experience the quiet within myself. And I could never do that. I drove myself crazy, basically, to try to stop my mind working. And so that didn't really work out at all. And I thought of myself as being not being a good student, not being a very spiritual person. And I gave up. I gave up trying to meditate, basically. But I was so young. I was 17. And I, of course, later I, you know, I had many other experiences, as, that changed everything about this state of not being able to meditate. I traveled many years around the world, and especially in the Far East, because, of course, I was attracted by the Eastern philosophy and the mysticisms, in the Eastern mysticisms. And I went to India twice. And in India, I have lived in ashram. An ashram is a spiritual center. And usually it is, there's a guru there. A guru is a spiritual teacher. And I was looking for wisdom, understanding, and was looking for enlightenment. So I did travel to India and I did my thing. And I ended up in New Zealand, and I got married there with a French Canadian woman, and we were very young and very crazy, and I'm not going to give you all the details, but we basically got married, and we left New Zealand, and we lived in French Polynesia, Tahiti, for a little while, and then we headed. We went to Canada, and that's how I emigrated to Canada. Now, this was the beginning of my deep involvement with the New Age, because the North American continent is the birthplace of the New Age, the modern New Age movement. Because in Europe, in France, there was hardly anything New Age in those days, and even later on, and it was very slow. It has been very slow in France to pick up, and now it's catching up quite a bit, and things have changed a lot. Like, it is global. This New Age religion is global, because it is becoming the one world religion, and so it is, it is making its way everywhere. But, you know, because France is a Catholic, traditional country, its mentality has been very slow to change there. Like, England and Germany have picked up a lot quicker than France. France, Italy, and Spain are, you know, Catholic stronghold, and they were very slow to change. So if I had stayed in France, I would probably never have been so involved in the New Age, or I would have been involved much later on. And so my immigration to Canada, which is a lot like the United States, has really brought me into everything New Age, basically. And I'm going to tell you how did that happen. So basically, what happened here is that after 3 years of marriage, where we were living on the west coast for a little while of Canada, and then we moved to Quebec, which is the French province of Canada. And after 3 years, the marriage fell apart and we separated. And I went to see a counselor, a woman therapist counselor, because I was in such a mess and complete confusion after this separation. And this woman I went to see was a psychotherapist. She was a counselor, and she was a yoga teacher, and she was a lot more. I'll tell you more about that. But she basically what happened with this woman is that after a few sessions, we became romantically involved, and the next thing we knew, we were together, and she became my partner for 7 years. Now, this woman, I'm telling you this because this was the catalyst for me to really become completely involved in the New Age. This woman was 25 years my elder. She was 25 years older than I. And part of why I was attracted to her is because she had a tremendous, she was attractive, of course, but she had a tremendous knowledge about everything New Age, and I was just getting my toe wet. I was just getting my toe in the water here, and I have been so passionate about, you know, finding God. I have a very passionate nature, so everything I do, I really get involved with, and I dive into it. I just don't tiptoe around things, or I just dive. And so this woman was helping me a lot on a personal level, but also she had been for 30 years, she had been in the New Age, involved in many, many different things of the New Age for 30 years. So all of a sudden, in 7 years' relationship with this woman, I got a major crash course on everything New Age. I mean, everything. And basically, this really started me on this path of really seeking enlightenment, because the whole goal of the New Age is to seek enlightenment. Now, we're going to see that this enlightenment thing is such a deception, because what it really does is like it brings you into fellowship with Lucifer. And what happened here is that there is many stories that Joan was telling me that that she was telling me about her own experiences. And she had been teaching. She was a yoga teacher, so there was a center there, a yoga center, like a physical center, in that little village where I was living. And I got so involved there because basically we had yoga class, we had meditation class there, and we have people coming for a workshop. We had all kinds of New Age teachers coming. And so I was really in the middle of it all for 7 years. And so I became very, I had a lot of experience, many different experiences. Do you have any questions, David?
Well, I have a couple, and a couple of comments, too. I also was raised in the religion you were raised in.
Uh-huh.
And when you said that, you know, I'm backing up and coming forward, so be patient with me here. When you said that you felt like you knew God back there. People have questioned me about that, but I really felt like I knew God back there.
Now,
I didn't know much about him.
Yeah.
But I recognized his spirit, and I recognized his conscience. I had a conscience when I was very young and was being trained in the Catholic Church. I wasn't trained in the Bible, so I didn't know much about God, but I felt his spirit move upon me at a very young age. And you pointed out, Philippe, that as you got into these New Age cultic religions, they wanted you to lay your mind on the side. They basically wanted you to stop thinking.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I had the same experience with the Christian religions. They want you to lay your mind on the side. They want you to stop thinking. Just believe what they tell you so that you can know God, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's still true today of most of the mainline Christian religions, if you say, wait a minute, how could this be? You know, let's think about this. Let's talk about this. Look what the Bible says. Oh, no, no, no. You don't understand. That's not what we believe. In other words, never mind what the Bible says. Never mind what makes common sense. Just believe what we tell you, and you'll know God, right? So I had the same experience, and now you're talking about going into yoga. And the one question I have to ask you is, was the Kundalini mixed in with the yoga there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to come to that, David, the Kundalini.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to follow like a little bit of a format that I envisioned, so that there is like a progression into that. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about other experience I had before I talk about the Kundalini experience. So what happened here is that I was trained as a massage therapist, and I became working as a professional massage therapist. And pretty soon I moved away from Quebec, and I started living in the state. And I lived 8 years altogether in the state, and 4 years was in California, and 3 years was in Hawaii. Now, these are high New Age places. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of New Age activity in those two places. And this is where I went because I wanted to, you know, remember, I was driven, wanted to find the truth, and I was going to get the best that I could, that I thought that I could, out of this research, out of this search that I was on. So I moved to California, and during that time I had a lot of experience with New Age teachers and New Age teachings, because I not only was reading and picking up different things, you know, like on the internet or books in a metaphysical bookstore, New Age bookstore, I was reading and studying, but also I wanted to meet the people behind those books. Like, I didn't just stop. I wanted more. I wanted to know who these people were. I wanted to know if they were what they were saying they were. And so, you know, what I did is that many times I was reading a book, or if I was taken by something, if I was really attracted, or if I was really inspired by something, by a teaching, by a book, by, you know, I would study it, research it, and then I would pursue, I would find that person, the author, and then I would make contact, like I did with you, David, and I would try to meet them. I would, because, you know, I was in the middle of it all in California and Hawaii, so a lot of those teachers were living there. So, you know, I had met a lot of people like that. So I'm going to tell you a few experiences that I had of these people that I've met, so that you have a sense of who these people are, what they're doing, and why they're doing it, and also have a sense of this whole New Age things, because I'm sure when you look at it from the outside, it's probably very puzzling, and it's probably hard to understand. So one of the things that I looked into in those days, and that was like quite a few years back, there's a big movement in the New Age about positive extraterrestrial beings. And one of them is very well known in the New Age movement, and it's called the Ashtar Galactic Command. Okay. Now, you probably never heard of that. Maybe you did. But what this is the Ashtar Galactic Command is a so-called beings of light who are you know, helping humanity. That's how they are presented. Of course, they are all spirit. They are all demonic spirit. But, okay, I'm not going to repeat that. I know you know, and I know, so I'm just going to go on with the description here. A lot of people are channeling in the New Age, and they are there is a lot of medium, there's a lot of psychic that receive messages from those spirits. And there's a huge trend in the New Age, is like a lot of people are channeling, and they think that they are channeling this one and that one. I mean, of course, people think that they channel Jesus and you know, the Ascended Masters and the Goddess this and the Goddess that. I mean, you know, it's a very busy, the kingdom of God in the New Age is a very crowded kingdom. There's a lot of spirit out there. So this particular one I'm telling you about, called the Ashtar Galactic Command, I had a very, you know, personal experience with that. I was part of a message board on the internet, and there is a lady that was living in the Northwest, and who was calls herself Lady Commander Lady Ashtar Athena. So, sorry, I forgot to tell you that the Ashtar Galactic Command is commanded by the Ashtar Commander, and their purpose, what they say their purpose is that they are in service of Christ, and they are a confederation of planets, and they are they are preventing the invasion of negative extraterrestrials, and they are preventing nuclear holocaust on the Earth. Now, you know, when you don't know any better, that sounds pretty good. And it does attract a lot of, you know, innocent and naive soul like I was. This lady that I was just mentioning earlier is the representative of the Ashtar Galactic Command on Earth. And she calls herself Commander Lady Athena. And she's supposed to be the mate, the consort of this Ashtar, you know, commander. Now, I had a reading with her, like she does what she calls soul reading. And I had a very interesting and strange experience with this woman, because I had a phone reading, because she was up in the Northwest and I was living in California. And we were on the phone for 3 hours, and parts of the reading was very much like a lot of the other readings that I got, because I have to tell you, I got so many readings from so many people. I mean, psychic medium, channelers, tarot card reader, I ran out of idea here, but I mean, there's just so many out there. And a few other things that she told me. I mean, what's the main thing here that they tell you, you know, in readings like that, is that they are flattering your ego, basically. And it is in the same vein as, you know, you are God and you are a God and you are a goddess. And they tell you, well, you know, you are a very highly advanced spiritual being. You have come here on Earth for a purpose. You have a mission. And your mission is to be the light that you are, to spread the light, and to be this beautiful, amazing, awesome spiritual being that you are. And your light is an example, and you are shining, and by your example, people will learn from you. Anyway, this is the kind of nonsense that you hear over and over and over again in a reading.
You know, that's not too different, Philippe, from Christianity. There are people that run everywhere looking for a prophet to give them something to flatter their ego.
Yeah, no, that's
quite common. You know, and yeah. and like you said, they all sound pretty much the same. How great you are, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, I used to take everything with a grain of salt, you know, because I knew the deception of the flattering the ego, and even though I was wishing in my heart that I was special in the eyes of God, I never really, you know, I never lost it with that. I never really believed very much. I mean, I felt like a being of light. I felt like I was, you know, a child of God, you know. But so there was a spiritual vanity about it, because, you know, the New Age people have a spiritual vanity about them, this like persona that comes from thinking that you know something. You only think that you know, of course, and thinking that that they have like a superiority about them, you know, and that also comes from, you know, being told that, oh, you have been this in the past life, or you have been you were Gandhi in your past life, or you were, you know, a disciple of Jesus in your past life, or whatever, you know. And so there's a lot of ego flattering going on, and people get really lost in that. It's amazing, you know. I mean, you wouldn't think that people would believe any of that, but they do. They actually do, and it's amazing. And so, anyway, so this woman says to me, she said that, just for the sake, I'm not going to tell you the whole thing, but she said that, just as an example, she said that I had many, many, many lifetimes, and actually, I think I'd like to talk with you, David, about this reincarnation thing. I mean, obviously, I know reincarnation is a deception, but I will come to that later.